forward in the wake of the Dante Ivey tragedy. We're very, very honored to have his on here, Celinda. We thank her for coming. We do want you to know that the other representatives that are here, they're a small representative or a small representation of the people that have been at the table over the last year and 3 months. Now, this conference today is called with the hope of informing and encouraging the communities that have been affected by the actions of the officers that are involved in the case of Dante Ivey in April of 2015. As representatives of various communities in the city, we are dedicated to ensuring that righteousness, peace, and justice prevails whenever we're faced with adversity and questionable conduct on the part of our officials. Relationships in Albany, New York have been strained, to say the least, over the past year, and it's because of the engagement of various law enforcement officials and residents and leaders who have refused to be incited to violence and rioting that we're able to stand here today and share what we believe can be used to bring further healing to our city. My name is David Trainum. I pastor New Horizons Christian Church here in Albany. I also serve on various boards throughout the city, the Albany County Land Bank, as one of them. I also served with the Albany LEAD, the Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion Policy Coordinating Committee with the Albany Police Department. And here I stand with some of the representatives that have stood at the table. We have hammered out some policy changes that is going to benefit our city and our community for years to come. Namely, those people sitting at the table were Bernard Bryan, the president of the NAACP Albany chapter, Ann Pope, the regional vice president of the NAACP Albany chapter, Pastor McKinley Johnson, who you're going to be hearing from in a few moments. He's the pastor of the Greater St. John's Church here in Albany, New York. He's also the president of the Albany African American Clergy United for Empowerment Group, who has a representation of over 80 different churches that respond to him. And then there were also local Albany governmental officials, the Honorable Carolyn McLaughlin, who's not able to be here today, also Councilman Ron Bailey, Councilperson Kelly Kimbrell, Councilwoman Vivian Cornegay, Councilwoman Dorsey Appliers, and also the Honorable Wanda Willingham, who has stood with us and fought with us during this time. Now, in addition, there were other leaders and community advocates attending at various stages of our meetings whose knowledge and wisdom have helped forge these policy changes and have ensured that the city of Albany going forward during times of crisis will not give in to any type of manipulation by any other outside organization. I believe that we have a strong city. I believe that we can have a city that can be an example to various other organizations around the country. And as we go forward, we believe that what we share with you this morning is going to establish further parameters for the community to engage with us as leaders and also with the law enforcement officials. Lastly, as I begin, I want to once again share our heart's sorrow to the family of Dante Ivey, to his son, to his aunt, and to the others that were affected by it. This had a deep-rooted problem. This was a deep-rooted problem and continues to be. And nothing that we have done is going to say that the hurt and the pain is going to just go away. Dante's life has given purpose, though, to those of us that are on a mission in this city as leaders over Albany, New York. His passing also gives us a powerful lesson that bad things can happen even when someone's intentions are for the greater good of the city. And as we collaborated, we have come to the conclusion that we are all committed to truth and respect for human dignity for every single resident of our city. We also wanted to ensure that Albany remains a place that we are proud of and a place where we can trust each other in those that are hired to protect us and serve as guardians over our city. On April 2nd, 2015, It's a day that is etched in the minds of our residents. One of our own was taken from us. And now, as we know, as he was approached, a tragedy happened. It wasn't planned, and it wasn't something that was maliciously done. It happened, and now we, as a community and as a city, we have to find out what we can do to make our city that much better. However, when the grand jury concluded on October 28th that there was not enough evidence to indict the officers in question on criminal charges, and this is all we're dealing with today, you know, what we did is we began to have dialogue as pastors and as leaders of these organizations. And so a news conference was called at the GWU Outreach Center on Washington Avenue. At that conference, we outlined several requests to the City of Albany, the Albany Police Department and District Attorney's Office, asking for changes in the way policing is done in our city. And we demanded a fair and equitable justice process going forward. The clergy met then at that point with the leaders of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And what we did was we began to have dialogue with the officials that were in charge. We met with the District Attorney David Soares, we met with Chief Brendan Cox, and we also had other various meetings in order that we would be able to determine what we were going to do next. And so, after discussion, we began to put together a series of demands that we placed on these particular officials. And with that said, Pastor McKinley Johnson of the Greater St. John's Church is going to let you know not only what we demanded, but also what the City of Albany, the Police Department, has done to adjust their policies and laws so that we, as a city, will be able to be healed and go forward. Pastor Johnson.
Good morning. On October the 30th, this conference that we had at the Albany African American Clergy United for Empowerment at the GW Community Center up in Washington Avenue. During that conference, we outlined several demands to the City of Albany, the Albany Police Department, and the District Attorney's Office, asking for changes in the way policing is done in our city and demanding for a fair and equitable, as Brother Trayman has said, judicial process going forward. This is an overview of the specific demands that we presented to Chief Cox, and we want the city to know that those demands were heard and actions has been taken.
Amen.
One of the requests were for body cameras. The Albany Police Department, we ask you to equip to the fullest extent possible its patrolling officers and shift supervisors with body cameras to record interactions between on-duty officers with civilians. Now, this is the way they have started to respond in the police department. Body cameras implementation has begun and will be ongoing. Although the original timeline takes us through 2017, we plan, the police department, on advancing the purchase and deployment at a faster pace, as long as it is done, does not compromise the principles of the stakeholders' input. In addition to that, we had a thought about this retention of any video and audio tape for a specified amount of time should be mandated. Department guidelines should remove any discretion from on-duty officers to decline to engage the body cameras in a civilian interaction. The police department, they're saying for improved enhanced training, and it's already started, surrounding the issues of police legitimacy and building community trust. Let me give 4 points, they say. 8 hours of in-training on implicit bias provided by Gregory Owens to all police Department employees started already in February. 4-hour blocks of harm reduction training and delayed protocols. Number three, 40 hours of training on crisis intervention. There are concurrently already 40 officers in training for that. They have promised to review their use of force and de-escalation tactics as recently outlined by the Police Executive Research Forum. Now also we requested reset on community policing. We propose that the local law enforcement professionals implement a pilot program with the City of Albany where they administratively raise the age of adult criminals' responsibility on nonviolent misdemeanor conduct committed by individuals ages 16 and 17 years old who have not previously been adjudicated as having committed a crime in the adult criminal justice system. Here's what they're doing. The Albany Police Department is working on implementing a youth court in the fall of 2016. We would like to open up the youth court to up to the age of 18, in effect allowing us to raise the age for certain offenses. And we would like to encourage this to continue. Not only that, with these in-car cameras, the Albany Police Department has agreed to change policy regarding turning on the in-car camera system when officers are out of the vehicle on a street-level encounter. This change includes the purchase of extra equipment, additional training, and complete policy review. Enhanced transparency and accountability of on-duty officers. What they're going to do is for business cards. We are in the process, the police say, of providing business cards for all police officers so that the officer can better identify themselves to citizens they come in contact with. The card would include the station or unit the officer works out of, with a contact number, an email address, so that the citizen can follow up with the officer or a supervisor if there's any questions regarding the interaction or just a basic follow-up. We ask also for improved initial and in-service training of police officers that included cultural, competent, sensitivity training pertinent to the regarding cultural differences in the diverse population in Albany. Not in addition to that, we had an opportunity through Brother Chamberlain to talk to the FBI and the various justice systems, and he's going to share with you on that.
Yes, thank you. On April 21st, the NAACP, the clergy, and also some of the people from the council, we met with the Federal Bureau of Investigation and also with an attorney from Washington, D.C., who represented the Department of Justice. Those present in this meeting was myself, Ann Pope, once again the regional president of the NAACP, Councilman Ron Bailey, Gwen Pope, who represented the NAACP, Councilman Kelly Kimbrough, also Pastor Solomon Dees, Willie Austin, who's here in the audience, and also a concerned citizen, Randall Harris. Representing the federal government, you know, they actually invited us to come and to actually lay out what they found during their investigation after the grand jury chose not to indict the officers or the Albany Police Department on criminal charges regarding this case. There were a few questions that we asked the FBI and the Department of Justice, and they were very gracious in giving us their answers. We wanted to know that when the evidence was gathered, reviewed, and a determination was made, who was this information shared with, and or who was it forwarded to within the justice system for their approval? Or did everything just stop with the respective agencies of the Albany Police Department and the actual district attorney's office? As the FBI got the information, the Department of Justice, he said, was the federal authority, in that reviews of such cases as this one, when appropriate, the FBI conducts a thorough investigation and compiles the evidence for review by the Department of Justice. In this instance, the Department of Justice made the determination to not prosecute the police officers involved or the Albany Police Department. Understanding that a determination was made in which there was no criminal actions on the part of the arresting officers or the Albany Police Department, we then asked them if they looked into whether his civil rights were actually violated. We also asked if they felt that all evidence was presented properly by the district attorney's office so that they could make a proper and thorough decision based on the investigation, coming to the conclusion that everything was done in alignment and agreement with federal law. The FBI's response to those two questions were, according to the laws that govern the procedures used by the Albany Police Department in stopping Mr. Ivey, the attorney from the Department of Justice concluded that there was not sufficient evidence to prosecute the officers or the Albany Police Department in a criminal manner. Further, they stated that the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice conducts two types of reviews, criminal and civil. And generally speaking, the criminal review involves determining whether criminal acts were committed in a given situation, and the review of this case and the findings only pertain to the criminal investigation. We also wanted to know the specific process that was used after the evidence was handed over to the FBI by the district attorney, which he gave based on the findings of the grand jury. Now, once that was done, there were four pieces to that. Were there any further attempts to locate witnesses and question them? Because we were not satisfied that everybody had come forward. Were there any attempts to find out if there was any other video footage besides what was presented? We also wanted to say, we wanted to know that given the evidence presented, the law that was quoted to the grand jury in previous similar cases that may have been used to influence this grand jury proceedings, were these selective instances by the district attorney's office, or did the FBI go outside of the parameters of Albany, New York, and determine whether or not a criminal action was done? And then lastly, having come to the conclusion they did, was their decision based only on local law, state law, or was federal law and departmental policies and procedures considered? Their response was part of the review was an attempt to determine whether additional witnesses or video footage existed that would contribute to understanding of the incident. No such witnesses or footage was identified. And the conclusion that they came to was not based on only the cases and evidence presented to the district attorney's office. They also considered federal law by the district and the evidence presented by the district attorney's office. And so those laws that were similar, laws and cases similar to Albany, New York, was also committed. And so lastly, the FBI, you know, or we ask the FBI that as a community, we feel that the decision made by them may warrant this case to be looked at through a different lens. Because criminal justice practices, the history of them around the nation have been statistically biased as persons of black and brown descent are brought to a different criminal justice system. And in all excessive force cases, the FBI responded, the law requires that the government prove that the force used in that particular instance was reasonable. The inquiry focuses on what a specific officer perceived and how he or she reacted. The review, therefore, has instances of no abuse of power. In that particular instance, in the review of all cases, they further said, is never based on color, culture, sexual orientation, religion, or any other thing except the laws that are written to protect all citizens. Now, as we stand here today, some of us still disagree with some of that because the personalities of people actually come into play. And so what we have to do is we have to continue to find ways to heal our city and bring it forward. And so with that said, we, as the African American clergy, the NAACP, and also these other political community leaders, we say that we cannot change the situation that happened. We know that we can't. We cannot change necessarily the feelings of the people that are in our specific communities. Yet we believe that together we can change the future of our city. And we're here today to announce to our city and communities that we represent that these specific changes are only the beginning of the healing of our city. The police department has opened the door to us in order that we would be able to have further dialogue with them behind closed doors. We're inviting other organizations to join with us at those particular tables to make sure that the Albany Police Department, the District Attorney's Office, the FBI, and the Sheriff's Department are all held to the standard that we expect from them as they are the ones who are guarding our city. Now, we feel as a group that we must share these findings of the grand jury, not only with you as the news media, but we want these things shared with the people in our communities. We want them to know that we didn't just sit on our hands and wait until this blew over. We not only brought these particular agencies to the table, but we held them responsible and accountable to the very things that we know that our standard in all Albany, New York demonstrates. And because of that, there are some things that we are going to do going forward. Number one, we must continue dialogue. If we stop the dialogue, what happened last year is bound to happen again. And so we refuse to let that happen on our watch. Number two, we will be having a minimum of 3 meetings a year with these law enforcement agencies. And again, we're inviting people to come and to join us at the table because we need other community leaders, other groups to come and be a part of this dialogue. Because as we meet with these agencies, we invite the leaders of other religions, other community organizations, and even those who are part of business organizations to come and make our city better. We're no longer Arbor Hill, we're no longer South End, we're no longer West Hill. We are one city, and we are standing here today to say that we're taking those boundaries down, and we are now going to stand as one city, undivided, so that when we speak, we're going to speak as one voice. God bless you all, and I'm going to ask and Pastor Collier will close us in a prayer that he would bless our city. God bless you.